ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are discussing the Maitreyi Brahmanam. Why is it called Maitreyi Brahmanam? Because Maitreyi is the central figure there. And because of her, we are getting all these teachings. Just like Sri Ramakrishna's Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, the central figure, so to say, is M. Only because of him, we, through him, we are getting all this nectar of immortality. Because of Arjuna, Partho Vatsaha. Only because of him, the flow of the milk of the cow starts flowing only because of her child. They are just instruments. But really speaking, they are eternal liberated souls. What Sri Ramakrishna used to call Ishvara Koti, Jivan Muktas. Now, in our last class, we discussed two important points. For God realization, sannyasa is very necessary. What is sannyasa? We have to give up everything. Giving up means including everything, connected with Brahman, look upon everything as Brahman. That is called adhyatmika sannyasa, not physically giving up. It is not possible, neither desirable. The second point we discussed, nobody in this world really loves anybody in this world. Everyone loves only the Atman. And here we have to clarify ourselves. What do we mean? There are no your Atman, my Atman, the other person's Atman. No. Atman means one without a second. Ekam Sat, Advitiyam. And everybody loves. Because everyone is truly that Brahman only, albeit God, one is playing with oneself. God is playing with oneself. I will play a solitaire game, create lot of people, and then I will play with them. That is called Leela. So God is said to be in two moods simultaneously, Nitya and Leela. Because just as God is eternal, this samsara is also eternal. But people will grow up, evolve, realize that they are Brahman, as Sri Ramakrishna used to illustrate, the chicks of a homo bird. They travel, they fall down for many days. They grow up meanwhile and they understand the danger and then immediately turn their face towards its mother and start flying back. That falling process is called involution. And again going back is called evolution. So, that is, there is no choice whether I want to realize God, I do not wish to realize God, there is no such choice at all. We have come down and we have to go back. We have deliberately created our own bondage and we ourselves will break it up and then we feel very happy. Now I am free, like that. So, Yajnavalkya commands Maitreyi after teaching about love. Hope you remember, the self is loved unconditionally. Everything else is loved only conditionally. Even our hatred towards enemies is part of this game because this likes and dislikes, love and hatred, they're all part of part of the same drama, same leela. The more we hate our enemies, the more we are learning how to intensify our feelings. And when we succeed in that, there comes a time when we will be gathering our power of love, our power of hatred, everything, every power, withdraw from every sense organ and direct it, make it one like a laser beam and direct it towards God alone. So the whole world is created only to experience the joy of self-realization. Don't ask, where was the need? It is leela. Just we have to accept. In any case, we are here. Yajnavalkya, hearing after teaching about the love, every love we possess towards this world, and Swami Yatishwanda Maharaj used to tell that love is not real love, but that love is attachment. So there are some people who cannot live without hating somebody. What a peculiar mental condition. So loving somebody, hating somebody, both are part of this leela only. But what is the common thing? Both attachment, strong attachment. In fact, hatred produces more attachment, stronger bondage, but that bondage alone will now be converted. I want to be a bond slave of Bhagavan. That is called true bhakti. So Yajnavalkya, having taught self-love, that is the only unconditional love. And why do we love the self? Because it is the source of all bliss. Sat chit ananda. Satyam jnanam ananta. Ananta means what? Infinite bliss. And everybody wants unbroken infinite bliss. And if we want to experience infinite bliss, then we have to be sat. And we have to be aware. There is no such thing of experiencing happiness or unhappiness without being aware of it. So we want to experience that unbroken bliss. It has a technical name called ananda. But everything, sukha, has its opposite. But this ananda is eternal. There is no opposite. One only. Now, atma va are drashtavyaha. As Ramakrishna says, atma should be realized. God should be realized. The goal of human life is God realization. To realize that we are potentially divine and to unfold our own divinity, manifest the divinity. That's what Swami Vivekananda had put it so beautifully. I am potentially divine and life is created for me to manifest my own potential divinity. Not only that is the goal, there must be path. So, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga are the pathways. And as far as jnana yoga is concerned, and it also applies to every other yoga, practically speaking, there are three steps. Shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, ididhyasitavyaha. First, we must get the knowledge. There is a goal. There is a God. And that God should be desired. Because what we are really seeking is only ananda. And God is the only source of ananda. Not only is the only source. It is the eternal ananda. So that is what this we come to know from the scriptures. And that is what one should hear. How long? Again and again and again. And then one should sit. As Ramakrishna says, now and then go to solitary places and think of God. So we have to think, what did my teacher, the scripture, tell me? And doubts will be there. At the beginning, this teaching is diametrically opposed to our every day, every minute experiences. I am not at all the self. I am very limited being with very limited knowledge, with very limited energy and power. And I am born and I am going to die. continuously I am changing. How can I be that supreme, eternal, ajaha, nityaha, shashvataha, puranaha, nahanyate, hanyamane sharire? How could I be that? Doubts will come. But a teacher will never tell us anything that is doubtful. He always tells the truth. Scripture always tells the truth. There is no doubt about it. So, if there are doubts, that's our problem. And that process of eliminating all the doubts without even one doubt remaining, that is called manana. Then once our minds are clear and we are convinced of the truth of the saying of the scripture heard through the mouth of the guru, I have to realize it. That process of actually experiencing my divinity, that is called nididhyasana. So, only one thing. This shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, they are technical words, but at the same time, they are also applicable, whether it is karma yoga. What is it? Do not desire anything. Only God should be desired. Do not be attached to anything. Do not desire very temporary results, short-lived desires. Have a desire for that which lasts forever and ever. So, same thing. Then you go and sit, go on discharging your duties in a spirit of devotion, dedication to God. That is what Shivagnane Jiva Seva. This is not done for my benefit, but to please God, because He had created me, He placed me under these circumstances, He had given me these particular duties. It's my duty to please God. He will be pleased. Svakarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha. Every one of us can please God by discharging our own duties. A baby has its own duties. A student has his or her own duties. A married grihastha, she has got her own duties. A vanaprasthi has her own duties. A sannyasi has his or her own duties. So everything is bound by this duty. What is a duty? That which takes us gradually, surely but gradually to God. That is called kartavya. So, in karma yoga, bhakti yoga, cultivate holy company. What does it give? Bhakti. And what should a devotee do? Earnestly pray to God. Oh Lord, I am helpless. Please grant me bhakti so that I do not desire. Say Ramakrishna's prayer. Oh Mother, I do not wish for anything. I want only your lotus feet. So, this is how a bhakta also practices exactly shravana, manana, nididhyasana. What is the nididhyasana of a bhakta? Say Ramakrishna's life shows. He wanted the vision of Krishna, meditated upon Radha. He wanted the vision of Rama, he meditated upon Hanuman, who is the very embodiment of bhakti, Rama bhakti. Rama bhakti means Ishvara bhakti. Ishvara bhakti means Brahma bhakti. So, suppose Ramakrishna wanted the vision of Jesus Christ, then he would have meditated upon, say, maybe Saint Francis of Assisi, because they represent to us the highest pathway, how they achieved that goal. By following their footsteps, we will also reach the same goal. This is called imitation, following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. So whether it is Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga. Raja Yogi has his own guru, lessons, sit in one place, how Totapuri was trained, and then how to sit, how to put up. A duality is like heat and cold, hard and soft. So, over number of years, they were taught, wherever you are, sit in a particular way and do not allow your mind to deviate here and there. So, what I wanted to convey, this శ్రవణ మనన నిధి ధ్యాసన ఆర్ నాట్ పిక్యూలియర్ సాధనాస్, దే ఆర్ ఓన్లీ పిక్యూలియర్ వర్డ్స్ జ్ఞాన మార్గ ఇన్కల్కేట్స్ ఇన్ ఇట్ బట్ దే రీకాలెంట్స్ ఆర్ దే ఇన్ సాధన ఎవరిబడి హెస్ టు ఫాలో ది సేమ్ థింగ్. Become unselfish, approach God nearer. That is how we have to understand. But here, a bit of Sanskrit grammar. Shrotavyaha, that word vya is called tavya pratyaya. Tavya pratyaya means you must do it. It is your duty to do it. Kartavya, you have to do this. Shrotavya, you have to listen to this. Mantavya, you have to think deeply about it. Nididhyasitavyaha. So, for commandments will come in the form of tavya pratyaya. Example is karta kartavya. So, that is what Yajnavalkya used here, saying, I have already told you about the glory, because you will be eternally blissful, eternally present, sat, chit, ananda. You will become that. And therefore, strive to become that. Some gnanis think that that is the only path. They write books also. No other path will take to God. But the mistake they commit is that even most of the gnanis, nobody had attained Brahma Jnana only by meditating. They have tremendous bhakti for their own guru. So many of these followers of Jnana Marga, they use it to do Upasana, Rama Upasana, or Hayagriva Upasana, Saraswati Upasana, or Bala Saraswati Upasana, or Lalita Upasana. So, Sri Ramakrishna, according to Sri Ramakrishna, we all know that one can realize God by any path, but only by the grace of God. So, according to Sri Ramakrishna, these three commandments, the truth has to be heard again, and it has to be thought until all doubts are eliminated, and then it has to be followed in every minute of our life, every step of our travel, and then such a person will slowly realize God, become one with Him, united with Him, and that is called mukti, moksha, liberation. So Sri Ramakrishna used to say that five commandments He has given. Cultivate holy company. Now and then, go to solitude and think God alone is your savior, nobody else. Always discriminate between what is real, what is permanent, what is temporary. And live in this world like a maid servant lives. All these three, Shravana, Manana, Nidhi, Dhyasana, are represented only in that manner. But the special emphasis Sri Ramakrishna gives is, one can realize God only by His grace. Yesterday also we have seen Bhagavan Krishna having taught all the yogas and assuring Arjuna that Sankhya Yoga and Jnana Yoga or any other yoga, they are not separate. Any path can take us to God, and even Karma Yoga. So, karmana, if one can fulfill one's own duties, wherever one is placed, God will be pleased. When God is pleased, what can He give? He gives Himself. And what is the nature of God? What is God? Satchidananda. So, He gives Himself. That is, the devotee becomes Satchidananda. Having established that the attainment of true bliss is nothing but the attainment of one's own self. That is a point we have to discuss. Bliss is not in Vaikuntha. Bliss is not in Kailasa. Bliss is within ourselves. And our true self is everywhere. So the Upanishad shifts to the methodology. What methodology? This first, listen to it. Second, think deeply what you heard. And then realize. Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. And then, ultimately, what happens? Through the process of this sadhana, spiritual struggle, through continuous study, meditation, and transformation of one's character, a spiritual seeker achieves. What does he achieve? Sarvatma Bhava. That is to say that I was thinking I was an individual. I never knew what is the meaning of individual. The very meaning of that word individual, indivisible, that is called individual. We are saying 24 hours I am an individual, but we mean I am one small object among countless other objects. No, I am everything. Sahasra sirsha purushaha, sahasrakshaha. So we have to understand that one. Sarvatma, I am everything. There is nothing else excepting God. That is what it means. So there is a deep psychological truth involved here. When a person views the world as other, that means not me, but something else, they inadvertently reject the world. It is separate from me, different from me, and the world also separates them. Since you say, I am separate from you, I also say, you are separate from me. That idea is brought out. He who thinks a Brahmana is different from me, mother and father are different from me, so Kshatriya, Vaishya, rich man, poor man, they're all different from me. So long the whole world is not me, I am separate from the world. I am the experiencer. The world is the experienced. I am the subject. The world is the object. And in its turn, the world becomes subject and it rejects all of us. It's a beautiful passage. We will soon come to it. But earlier we said everything in this world is conditional. But the love of a realized soul is universal. What does it mean? A jnani, like say Ramakrishna, like Ramana Maharshi, they do not love people individually. They see Brahman, and Brahman is of the nature of bliss, and that bliss is called love. So, a very knower of Brahman loves. That is why he can't see any difference in this world. Everything in this world is a dear, adorable, me only. That is beautifully expressed by Bhagavan Krishna in his inimitable words. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva svapakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. A knower of Brahman becomes a pandita. Pandita means one who has atmagnana, self-knowledge. And they become samadarshis. Samadarshi means equal vision. They consider the whole world is me, I am the whole world. No differentiation at all. That's why they're capable of loving. And their love never time-bound. It is never produces hatred, never looking down. I am the lover, you are the loved. So you are like a object to me. No, you are exactly like me. Swami Vivekananda beautifully describes this through a Sufi parable. There was a man who loved another woman. So this lover one day went to the house, to the cottage of his beloved, and he found that the door was closed. He knocked at it. From within came the question, who are you? He said, it is me. The door did not open. Second time he knocked. Same question, same answer. Third time he knocked. And then same question. But this time he said, I am thee, my beloved. And then he found there was no door at all. So these are beautifully said by great saints, Sufi saints, Hindu saints, Buddhist saints, etc. So a jnani loves everybody, everything equally. So that universal love is not possible so long as a person thinks the world is different, I am different, everything in this world is different. So the progress starts. First of all, I see God, I see everybody, I see everything. But I see also God's creation. God himself created the whole world. That is called Dvaita Vedanta, dualistic philosophy. But when he progresses through spiritual practice, then he attains a higher state of the mind, wherein he says, unity in diversity. I see also separation. I see also an unbreakable unity. That is called Visishtadvaita. Something within that person says, my journey is not complete. Then he progresses further and he reaches a point in knowledge that I am Brahman. So there is nothing else other than Brahman, and this world also, even if he happens to transact with the world, it is nothing but only pure Brahman. That is called universal love. But don't worry, universal love means don't go on imagining that he goes on embracing a tiger, goes on embracing a wicked person. No, what it means is that this person, he loves everybody unconditionally, but if he finds somebody who is fit to receive this teaching, he becomes an instrument in the hands of the Divine Mother. And the Divine Mother, who is Divine Mother? Pure knowledge is called Divine Mother. Call her Saraswati, call her Lakshmi, because several times I mentioned, Hindus, they inject certain wrong ideas in our minds. Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. No, Lakshmi is what is called Ananda. Ananda comes only when we become unlimited. So, call her Saraswati, Mahalakshmi. We have a choice, infinite choice. You like God in this form? Very good. You think of God in that form, and God will reveal himself in that form, and he will make you one with him, then you will know. So, the infinity has no form, but being so much identified with that, with this form, so we think that everybody, the truth is that, no, the truth is everything is the same. Further, Sri Ramakrishna also gives a beautiful analogy. He cites the example, analogy of a garden, huge garden, made up of wax, small plants, big plants, some animals, some insects, some houses. So, they're all made up of wax. Looked at from the viewpoint of forms and names, everyone is separate. But looked at from the source material, everything is one and the same. So that is why it is so beautiful. So this is called the Badha Samanadhikaranyam. We are suffering from this idea of separation, individuality, Vyakti Bhava. We must transform it into Samashti Bhava, universality. So, that negating, I am different from everything else, that is called Badha. Badha means, that is, removing the obstruction. And then we find everything is absolutely same. So, a teacher may be reassuring a student. An example is given. What is this Badha? So, somebody walking in semi-darkness sees a snake. And he is frightened, scared. Then somebody comes along. He says, the snake you see is only a rope. And it is difficult. But this that person, he says, I know this person. He is a truthful person. He never tells, even by mistake, any lie. So maybe he is right. And then the man, to remove the person's doubts, any lingering doubts, he brings a light, and with the help of light, he says, oh, this is a rope. Somebody has left it here. So, this is called Badha. Badha means negation. Negation means your idea that this is a snake is because of certain limitations you imposed upon the rope. And when the light is brought, those limitations are automatically removed. The moment light comes, all the limitations just disappear, just as light, as soon as lighted up, and all darkness simultaneously disappears. This is called badhayam samanadhikaranyam. So this statement means that what is currently perceived by all of us as pluralistic with infinite number of objects, this world is in reality nothing but that one Atma, non-dual self, advitiyam, advaitam. Then Agnivalkya also goes to show how is it, what is the relationship. You are going on saying this world is created by God. God is the cause, and there are two types of causes, material cause as well as intelligent cause, upadana and nimitta. Nimitta means intelligent cause. Before creation, God is both the material as well as the intelligent cause. So Yajnavalkya wants to teach this to Maitreyi. Maitreyi means she is only a representation. Anybody who is sincerely wanting to tread the same path and realize his own true self, for everybody this teaching is there. So he demonstrates that this world is the names and forms that we see are the result of the material, which is Brahman. And that Brahman also comes in the form of consciousness, which reflects in every object. That's why it is called Chidabhasa. So Chit, Chidabhasa, combined with body mind, that is the whole world. Every object, because Sat will be there even in the inert material, and Sat cannot be separated from Chit and Ananda. In fact, every Sat is external, so we think, and its perception, understanding in the mind is called Chit, the knowledge, Vritti Jnanam. So I see a tree, and that tree becomes a thought in my mind. And that thought, illumined by a reflected consciousness called Chidabhasa, comes out alive. I see a tree, to distinguish it from all other objects. So everything is made up of pure consciousness alone. Just as any number of objects created out of clay are nothing but clay, it is only the spatial limitation, small, big, square, round, etc., that is what makes us think every object is separate from every other object. In fact, they are all nothing but clay. Clay is one example. Gold is another example. Wood is another example. But everything is Chaitanya Swarupam, because we do not see anything outside directly, only indirectly. Like on our TV monitors or phone monitor, we see everything, even something that is going on or that went on in the past. So, Brahman is the Srishti Karanam. Brahman is the Sthiti, maintenance. Brahman is the Laya Karanam. So, Srishti, creation, Sthiti, maintenance, sustenance, and Laya, going back, coming forth, staying for some time, going back again, and that is what is continuously happening. So, every billisecond, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, how many objects are coming from non-manifestation into manifestation and flash for some time and again go back from where they have come. Avyaktada, avyakta adini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata, avyakta nidhana nyeva, tatra ka paridevana. There is nothing called death, nothing called non-existence. That is what he wants to say. So he has given, Agnivalkya has given certain beautiful examples of a blazing fire, of a spider, etc. And finally, for the going back, he gives the example, just as salt. You take a lump of salt, put it in the sea, and immediately it becomes one with the sea. Like that, everything that comes out of the ocean stays separate as if it was not the ocean, and again goes back. This play, eternal play, is going on all the time. That's what we need to do. With this background, let us enter into the Mula Mantras, and it should not take long time. So this Maitreyi Brahmanam has got 14 mantras. So the very first mantra, where Yajnavalkya expresses his intention of taking up the fourth ashrama according to Hinduism, that is called Sannyasa Ashrama. So he called both his wives, and then addressing them, he said, Maitreyi Itiha Uvacha Yajnavalkyaha. Yajnavalkya said, O Maitreyi, why did he address only Maitreyi? Because he understood intuitively that she is not going to accept my offer. She is going to be my student and follow my teachings and becomes a Brahmavadini. Whereas Katyayani, she has silently accepted. She was a good person, chaste wife, but she did not have that intensity of spiritual life. So we should not look down upon her, especially the wife of a rishi, Rishi Patni. We know very little about her. So Yajnavalkya, addressing Maitreyi, said, Udyasyan vai are aham asmat sthanat asmi. That means, O Maitreyi, asmat sthanat, from this place, literal meaning. But implied meaning is, from this state of householdership, aham, me, Udyasyan vai are. I want to give this up and enter into higher another state, which is called sannyasa, though he did not specifically mention it, but implication is that. So, hanta te anaya katyayanya antam karvani iti. So, I want to bring to a halt my relationship. I will not be a husband any longer. You will not be my wives. I will be a sannyasi. You will be Brahman in the form of two women. But the doubt might arise. You are simply going away? No. Yajnavalkya was quite a rich person. Hundreds of disciples used to study under him. That's very important for us to understand. Now we enter into the mantra too. So Yajnavalkya made crystal clear his intention of taking up sannyasa ashrama right from the grihastha ashrama. Why did he not go through vanaprastha ashrama? Because the result of leading a vanaprastha ashrama already he got here. Because what is it? That he became endowed with those 9 qualities. Sadhana, chatushtaya, sampannaha. He became a fit person. Not only that, he realized Brahman. He even imparted that knowledge of Brahman to Janaka, as I mentioned. So he was called Vidvat Sannyasi. He need not take sannyasa. He wanted to preserve the tradition to encourage other people. Like Sri Ramakrishna, he was the greatest sannyasi, even if he did not formally take sannyasa. Nagamahashaya, he did not take formal sannyasa. But even direct disciples used to bow in awe of his intense vairagyam, etc. So he said, you don't worry, how are we going to live? There is plenty of wealth, and equally, both of you, Maitreyi and Katyayani, would get that one. The second mantra says, I do not, Maitreyi's this reply, having heard this one. So there must have gone a lot of conversation, dialogue between them, but the Upanishad, it only briefly mentions the most important teaching, that's all. The whole dialogue is maybe imagined, we don't know. But this is what happens, just as it happened in the life of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. So having heard that her husband wants to take up to sannyasa life, first. Secondly, he is ready to give, you will not suffer. You will lead a rather very, very comfortable life because I am leaving sufficient wealth for both of you. Sa ha uvacha Maitreyi yat नो मे इयम् भगवः सर्वा पृथ्वी वित्तेन पूर्णा स्यात् कथम तेन अमृतास्याम इति. सो शी आस्क्ड, मैत्रेयी आस्क्ड दट ओ भगवान दट इफ द होल अर्थ फिल्ड विथ अनइमेजिनेबल वेल्थ इज ऑफर्ड टू मी इट बिकम्स माय प्रॉपर्टी तेन कथम अमृतास्याम इति. डू आई बिकम इमोर्टल बाय दैट? विल आई अटेन लिबरेशन? स्ट्रेट फॉरवर्ड क्वेश्चन. एंड देन याज्ञवल्क्य सेड ना इति उवाच नो. देन व्हाट हैपेंस टू ऑल, व्हाट कैन ऑल दिस वेल्थ डू? याज्ञवल्क्य यथा एव उपकरणवताम जीवितम तथा एव ते जीवितम स्यात्. उपकरणवता मीन्स पीपल विथ प्लेंटी ऑफ गैजेट्स एंड एनीथिंग दैट कैन मेक लाइफ वेरी वेरी कंफर्टेबल. सो highly adjustable AC and which can control both heat and cold and first class food, everything at his fingertips. Great people, that is wealthy people, they have everything. What they don't have is ananda is not there. Evam yatha eva upakaranavatam, just like wealthy people, how do they live? Jivitam tatha eva te jivitam. You will be very comfortable and you will live comfortable life. But this is amrutatvasya, but of the attainment of immortality to na asha asti vittena iti. There is absolutely, even one in a trillion percentage of hope that if I have money I will be liberated. Asha na asti vittena iti. Categorically he said no, it is not possible. By this also, he is hinting, a saying of Sri Ramakrishna comes to my mind. Once Hride was begging Sri Ramakrishna so that he can live a little bit comfortably. Actually, they were very poor people. Sri Ramakrishna was poor, but Sri Ramakrishna's father was quite rich, a kind of small jamindar, having 33 acres of wetland in that village called Dere. So, we know the incident because he was commanded to bear false witness. Flatly he refused, and as a result, that Jamindar had instituted a case against Kshudiram, bringing false witnesses. I don't know the details, but as a result, the court only knows what the witnesses are saying. They are not having intuition. But it is God's will. So he lost everything with his two children, with the clothes he had on. I doubt whether he even had a shirt on. Maybe some wearing cloth and something to put on. Upper cloth, he had to come with his wife and two children to Kamarpakur, not knowing what is going to happen. We know the rest of the story. So why did he give up? Because satyam, jnanam, anantam, all the three are one and the same, cannot be attained by vitta, by wealth. Had Kshudiram been attached even a little bit, then he would have bore the false witness. He would have told the falsehood. That's what most people do, or even out of fear, they can do that. So crystal clearly, here Upanishad is telling, but we should not misunderstand that wealth cannot give spirituality. Spirituality is different, but wealth is not opposed to spirituality. We have to understand, it's not wrong to have wealth or name and fame or knowledge or honor. Everything one can have, but one should know the limitations, what they can give, what they cannot give. What can't they give? They cannot give ananda. Ananda comes only from pure knowledge, from the control of mind. Nothing to do with the possessions a person has. That crystal clear knowledge one should have, no doubt about it. So here is the hint that even if the whole earth becomes one, we have seen in the Taittiriya, second chapter, Brahmanandavalli, what is the measure of one human happiness? if a young man, healthy, idealistic, learned, intelligent, full of strength, full of willpower, and if he owns the whole world, because of these qualities, he can derive, and he will derive, without doubt, tremendous happiness, not a single person on this earth can obtain. That is only the smallest measure. But at the end, as we have seen, Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya, same happiness and much more happiness, because nearly, I think, 12 times or so, he repeats that one. That means the Shrotriya, one who has tremendous faith in the scriptures, and as a result, he practiced spiritual disciplines, and as a result, he had realized Brahman. That means he is swimming in the ocean of bliss. He is bliss. We should not get that picture. There is a lake, and it is a lake full of ananda, and you are separate, and you go and jump into it. Funny thing, I think you remember, when Sri Ramakrishna was teaching this, supposing there is a huge vessel full of sweet nectar, and you are a fly on a rain, how are you going to enjoy this nectar? Then he said, I'll sit on the edge of the utensil and stretching my tongue, I will be sipping. Why? What was his idea? Because I am not this nectar. If I fall into it, I will lose my life. Immediately, the correction came from Sri Ramakrishna. My child, this is not ordinary nectar. It is Satchidananda. One who falls into it, he becomes a Satchidananda. Through these small examples, how much Sri Ramakrishna was trying to teach us. Now, in this second mantra, important point is that wealth and other things are not to be thrown out, not to be, but there is a, what is called, a proper way of earning the wealth. There is a proper way of using the wealth and for the good of the world. Let one enjoy it. Let him also help others enjoy it as much as possible. These are beautiful thoughts. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.